All right, this is a big, huge test for your Tampa Bay Buccaneers going up against the 49ers. The San Francisco 49ers with all those weapons, very well coached in San Francisco. The 49ers faithful. It's actually in Santa Clara. Whatever. It's a West Coast trip, and we're going to see what the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are made of. Are they a below 500 team? Are they a team that can play well and still have some winners? As Mike Evans says, we got a lot of guys here that know how to win. Canales, the offensive coordinator, we're still learning. Baker Mayfield is still learning. Baker Mayfield said the 49ers D front is very, very good. I'm going to cover it all. I've been at One Buck Place all week long. Inside press conferences, on the field, in the locker room. Here we go. This is my Bucks kickoff podcast. 24 to 48 hours before every Buccaneer game to bring you the very latest information. Inside One Buck at JoeBucksFan.com. Let me tell you before I go any further about my good friend Sean Sullivan at Bill Curry Ford. Black Friday deals rolling now at Bill Curry Ford. If you're thinking about getting a vehicle, now is the time, and the only place to go is Bill Curry Ford. And as for Sean Sullivan in Tampa, family-owned Ford dealership in Tampa since 1958, not far from Raymond James Stadium, right up the road, 1 mile north of Ray J on Dale Mabry. All the great offers, Black Friday offers right now at BillCurryFord.com. The Curry family and GM Sean Sullivan, they give you a nationwide lifetime warranty on all new vehicles. Sean Sullivan is a huge Buccaneer fan. He'll give you a special discount. All you got to do when you go to Bill Curry Ford and ask for Sean Sullivan, mention to him that you found Bill Curry Ford from Joe Bucks Fan or the sage of Tampa Bay sports, Ira Kaufman. Order a new vehicle online now. Great thing, no deposit. You can go through their custom concierge service. And Sean's going to give you a $500 discount. Plus, you get that Joe Bucks Fan discount or the Ira Kaufman discount. He'll talk Bucks with you. He'll talk NFL draft with you. BillCurryFord.com. Start shopping there today. You can email Sean with any questions you may have about a used or a new car, a truck, an SUV. You can find him at BillCurryFord.com. Only place, and you got all those deals, man, going on right now. All right, what a deal I got for you. I've been inside One Buck. I'm going to do my Under the Rock where I tell you what I have seen and what I have heard. This isn't like every other podcast where it's just, you know, on the internet and then getting all the information on the interweb. I'm there. Bottom line in this one, San Francisco, it started as a 10.5 point favorite. Now it's at an 11.5 point favorite. The over-under was at 42.5. Now it's at 41.5. 49ers, 3-1 against the spread when they play at Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara. Now look, the 49ers last week, oh man, they got off that three-game slide strong, demolished the Jacksonville Jaguars. It isn't like the Jaguars are like a Giants team. Jaguars are pretty damn good, and they just beat them like a drum. Now, the 49ers are out to prove, okay, that they are back as legitimate NFC title contenders. Remember this, though. And they are human. This isn't AI. They are human. 49ers, after this game, they got to go to play on Thanksgiving night in Seattle. So that's a big one because Seattle and San Fran are 6-3. They're tied atop the NFC West. Then, after the short week, and they got to play on Thanksgiving night against the Seahawks, and that's a crazy environment there, Seattle has to go to Philly. Long trip. And the Eagles are 8-1. Then they come back for the rematch with the Seahawks here in Santa Clara, December 10th. So maybe that they're looking past these Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Could be. You got to hope for that. If you're a Buccaneer fan, that's what you got to hope for. The Buccaneers, they look good against a pretty bad Tennessee Titans team. But I don't care. A win is a win in the NFL, 20-6. Also, if you're a gambler, man, the Bucs are 4-0 against the spread on the road. So the Bucs are just trying to get 500. .500 to stay atop the NFC South. Look, if they lose this, and then they beat Indianapolis, and then if the other two, there could be a three-way tie at 5-6, 7, 6-7 at the NFC South. They're in it. They're in it, but they've got to prove to me to be a little bit more consistent in order to even think that they've got a shot. Baker Mayfield, Brock Purdy. This is interesting, okay? And I know quarterbacks don't play against each other, but Brock Purdy was the last pick, Mr. Irrelevant, in the NFL draft in 2022. Baker Mayfield was the overall number one pick in the NFL draft in 2018. Here we are now, all right? Let me give you some stats. They're pretty damn close. Brock Purdy has 15 touchdowns and 5 picks. Baker Mayfield has 14 touchdowns and 5 picks. Very, very close. Passer rating, a little bit better for Brock Purdy, 109.9. Baker Mayfield, 93.7. All right, what weapons does Baker Mayfield have? Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, and Rashad White out of the backfield. Brock Purdy has Deebo Samuel, who's healthy, Brandon Ayuk, George Kittle, and Christian McCaffrey, who is just as good out of the backfield, and he's so slippery and elusive as he is as a runner. Now, last year when it was Purdy making his NFL debut when they were playing against the Buccaneers. Do you remember that game? Oh, my God. I remember being at One Buck the lead up, and there was a lot of national media and asking questions. You know, oh, he's going back to San Francisco. Oh, he's going back home. Oh, this is a big one for him. Oh, the 49ers had wanted the GOAT. Oh, he even went back to like his old high school and all that. Remember that? Oh, he used to be a candlestick when he was a kid, and he would be up in the nosebleeds and he'd watch Joe Montana and this and that. And Brock Purdy was like, oh my God, I'm going up against the GOAT. Well, you know, Bowles this week, when he was asked about that game, he was like, I hope the results are different. They beat us up pretty bad. We learned some things. We changed some things. The 49ers have a new, the Buccaneers have the new offense and the new offensive coordinator. Well, the 49ers have a new defensive coordinator, Steve Wilks, because D'Amico Ryans was scooped up. So Steve Wilks was, remember him with the Carolina Panthers, interim head coach, did a decent job. They have a new passing offensive game coordinator, Clint Kubiak. I mean, Shanahan, you know, calls the plays. John Lynch. We love John Lynch. Everyone around Tampa Bay loves John Lynch. I got a great John Lynch story. On Bucks Kickoff Podcast, I get into these X's and O's, tell you what I've seen, but I got to tell you a funny story, okay? Why not? So when John Lynch was here, he was revered. Hard-ass hitting safety out of Stanford. You know, just on that great Buccaneer defense with Sapp and Brooks and Rondé and Lynch. That's four Hall of Famers right there on one defensive team. And when the Buccaneers elected to let John Lynch go, the radio station, all sports radio station in Tampa Bay is WDAE. And the day that happened, those phone lines were burning up. And the producer, Matt Salmon, who has moved on, he used to be the producer for the Chris Thomas Show. And they were taking so many calls. It was like as if John Lynch walked on water. And so Matt Salmon decided in a break, you know what? Why don't we have some fun? Why don't we tell the fans, Buccaneer fans, there's going to be a vigil on Gandy Boulevard, because it's not far from the station, you know, Redneck Riviera, Gandy Beach, you know, and let's tell them at 5 o'clock, we're going to have a candlelight vigil for John Lynch. Buccaneer fans show up. Do you know that there was a line of pickup trucks and get-her-dones and cars on Gandy Beach for a moonlight vigil for John Lynch? There was no such thing. They made it up. But that's the reverence that Buccaneer fans have, even Bronco fans too, for John Lynch. Well, John Lynch has done a hell of a job. Can you imagine that? He never worked in a front office. Here he is, general manager, and he's got Shanahan with him because they were buddies. And Shanahan, one last thing, and then we get back to this. Shanahan got his start in the NFL with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers under John Gruden. It was back in 04-05. I remember one time, who's that? Oh, that's Shanahan. Oh, Shanahan's son? That kid? What's his title? Quality control coach. Gopher for Gruden. And that's where he got his start. But anyway, Shanahan is a hell of an offensive mind and a damn good coach. And they're damn well coached. They really are. Here's the thing that makes the 49ers so good. Let me hit you with this. The 49ers are fourth in all the NFL in points scored. 28 points a game. They're also defensively second in all the NFL in points allowed at 15.9. The 49ers are number one in points differential in the NFL. So this is a damn good team. I know they had the three-game losing streak, but man, they had their bye week. They changed things. They brought Wilkes down from the booth down to the sidelines. Shanahan made a couple of tweaks and changes. And look out, man, that was their first game back last week. Whereas the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, after their bye week, I don't know what the hell happened. But they looked good last week. They really did, you know? Oh, and by the way, Todd Bowles was a safety for the 49ers in 1991. It's a Fox game. This is the D team, I think, C team. Joe Davis, play-by-play, watching this one with me. Daryl Johnson, Moose Johnson is the color guy, and Pam Oliver is going to be on the sidelines. Sideline reporter, like Krista Thompson. This is not the podcast to get into that. All right, the 49ers were on a three-game losing streak, and they had their bye. Brock Purdy in the win last week, he leads the NFL in passer rating. He's number one. He is number one in yards per pass attempt at 9.3. It's not a lot of checkdowns, you know. Offensive line, Trent Williams, because we were talking to Tristan Wirfs this week, and he was like, he's a freak. He's a robot. He came from he was created. He went on and on talking about Trent Williams. He's back. He's healthy. Debo Samuel, he's back. He's healthy. The weapons, Brandon Ayuk, George Kittle, Christian McCaffrey. Because Bowles was asked, and Lee from Joe Buck's Fan was talking about it in the locker room. Lee is one of my favorites. He's very, very entertaining to me. And, you know, if you look at Todd Bowles' record as a defensive coordinator going up against Christian McCaffrey, it's pretty damn good. But there's quite a bit of a difference between Carolina's offense and San Francisco's offense when it comes to McCaffrey. And even Bowles this week said, when he was asked about, hey, man, you've done a good job against Christian McCaffrey, he's like, they, meaning San Francisco's, got a lot more weapons and a lot more yak yards than we've faced recently. And McCaffrey is, you know, he is damn good. He really is. For the Buccaneers, they desperately needed that win last week against the Tennessee Titans. And you know how it goes against a rookie quarterback normally. But as I've been saying all week, Will Levis is nowhere near in the same category as C.J. Stroud. The Buccaneers defense did come back from that horrid performance against the Texans. I even asked Todd Bowles on Wednesday this week. I said, what was the biggest difference on how the defense, because you never know, that was embarrassing giving up 39 points. And they totally came back. They were flying to the ball. And I asked Bowles, like, what was it? And he said, everybody has a lot of pride. You don't want to just have a bad game and not come back from it. You're not going to go into the tank. No one wanting to tank. And speaking of tank, I'm not getting into any early mock draft. You still have a whole, just almost a half of a season to go. Like, what do the Buccaneers do with Mayfield? How's he going to finish? Is he going to finish pretty good? Do you try to negotiate because he's in a good place? Do you try to negotiate with him and then go in the draft and get one of the studs? Do you go all, because if you get a rookie quarterback, he's going to be on a rookie contract. You can build around. But the tanking, I haven't heard anyone, any indication or with Jason Light or anyone in there that's even a consideration as of right now. You know, I saw SI Now came out with their mock draft and said, predicting the Buccaneers will go with the LSU quarterback, Jaden Daniels. He's got a lot of potential. Again, potential. 6'4", 210, great year. You just never know. But anyway, I had to laugh with the tanking. All right, I'm going to go into my, let me give you, because this Bucs Kickoff podcast is a little bit different from Locked On, wherever podcast you get. They're in Ohio or a different country, and everything, all their stuff's on the internet. You know, anybody can go on the internet. I'm in the building, so I do am I under the rock. When we started out on Wednesday, it was a rainy, rainy day. They practiced indoors. For media, you really don't get much at all. The special teams unit is right next to you. You're in the end zone in the Advent Health indoor facility. The quarterbacks, sometimes they'll work outside or you don't even see anything. And the D-line is over on the side and you're not able to get as much. And it's really, really low key. Now, I know this, and even as hot and humid as it is in Tampa Bay, the big linemen, the bigger guys, they would prefer to practice on grass, even if it's hot. You go in that facility and it's a break. It's kind of nice. And even Baker Mayfield said it a couple of weeks ago. Do you like playing on turf? Do you like playing on grass? And he even said, and I remember when Dominican Sue say, give me outdoor grass to play on. but Baker Mayfield said, every time he talks to one of the big guys, the next day after they practiced indoor, they say that they're sore. Isn't that funny? After even one practice on turf. So there wasn't much to get out of that. When we got in the locker room, it was more upbeat this week than it was last week. That's for damn sure. No music. There was a card game going on. No chess is being played. Like I told you, if you're new to this podcast, the Buccaneers brought in a woman expert on chess this offseason. And she taught the entire team how to play chess. And they thought, I don't know who came, I don't know if it was Bowles' idea, was it Canales, was it somebody on the team? I don't know whose idea it was, but they thought, what can we do for like team bonding? Instead of shooting at a little basketball hoop in the locker room, instead of playing the little pop-em, stick-em darts game that's on the floor. And Scotty Miller was the one that was the ringleader on that one. He's gone now, but they don't even have that anymore. And they said, what about chess? And they brought in a woman, and the woman taught them how to play chess. And she went up against John Wolford, the third string backup quarterback. And he beat her. He's that good. He is that good. But I find that kind of funny. But so there was no chess, and I'll even move ahead to Thursday. There was no chess. So the chess thing might be done by now. There was no chess being played on three of the tables. And there wasn't even a card game going on Thursday. That I hadn't seen since I've been there. And one other thing. Do you know Ryan Jensen is at every single practice and is in the building every single day? And he's right there with his team. I don't ever remember seeing that. When a player is out for the whole year and just has rehab, they do their rehab. They might be around a little bit. Ryan Jensen's always down there with Devin White and sometimes Evan. That's the big money. There's no rookies down there playing cards at that table, farthest one, down by Evans' locker and Godwin's locker. And then the kicker's on the other side, kicker, punter. But Ryan Jensen's there every day, every single day. Every game, he's right there the whole game on the sidelines. When they walk out, he walks out. That says something about Ryan Jensen. It really does. Now, I don't know if his career is done, but that says something to me. Let's see. Anything that I found interesting, it was fairly upbeat. The overall answers to the questions that would come up on Wednesday and Thursday to players, coaches, about the 49ers, they all said the same thing, like, this is a damn good team. They come at you in so many different ways. They're well coached. This is, you know, and Canales even came out on Thursday saying, championship week, right? Championship week. This is how we measure ourselves against the Eagles, against the Lions, and against a team like this. The 49ers, their defense is good. Their weapons, Purdy. Godwin did say, he said it was a fun place to play, Levi Stadium. The 49ers faithful are pretty strong, and he likes going there. He likes going there to play. But overall, I did see, and basically when it comes to practicing on Thursday, it was cloudy. It was misty. It was like 69, 70 degrees. The players loved it. When you have cloud cover and a little bit of mist, they were loving it. And I don't know if they're doing this on purpose, but maybe they're just trying to change it up. The big ass speakers that they have booming the music when they're stretching and running and getting loose as a team. They started out way down at the other end. Then they moved it near us media geeks. And now they actually put it out on the field. And these speakers are powerful. And I laugh because 85-year-old Tom Moore usually stands where they move the speakers to. And it was too loud for him. He had a hat on and he came walking over. He gave me a big wave and a grin. He cracks me up, man. He loves being at the facility every day. He gets there at like 4 a.m. and he doesn't leave until 7 o'clock at night. And he's 85 years old, and that's every single day. I didn't realize that they actually, some of the coaches, have been meeting and getting there at 3 a.m. Bowles mentioned that on a side note the other day when they're putting together a game plan. 3 a.m. Unbelievable. Anyway, Ryan Neal, he had a cast on the thumb. Dee Delaney is going to get the snaps there. And it looks like Kayvon Merriweather would be the backup. I don't think they're losing anything. I really don't with Ryan Neal. I noticed that Carlton Davis, you know, practicing all week. Mike Evans was listed as a quad injury this week on the injury list. He was doing his one-on-one workout with a trainer, which he does every single practice. Same thing with Antoine Winfield Jr. with a toe injury. He looks fine. He looks good. I did see GM Jason Light come out briefly, and then he walked right back in. No Joel Glazer this week. And I did get a question from somebody, what happened to Bruce Arians? I don't know. He has not been there at all. I have not seen him one day. I know that he was still under contract to be a consultant. I don't know if the Glazers, I'll try to find out more next home game. I don't know if they had a bot or whatever, but Bruce Arians has not been around. So let's get into, should we do some matchup? Brock Purdy's an interesting guy. You know, he lit the world on fire last year and then not quite as good as you would expect. I mean, cause that happens with these opposing defensive coordinators. Do you know Brock Purdy is only 23 years old? He's had 17 NFL games now. That's equivalent to a full season. It all started last year. It was December 11th in Santa Clara against the GOAT and the Bucks. He had suffered a torn UCL in the NFC Championship game, if you remember that, when they lost to the Eagles. It was in his right elbow, so he had to have the surgery, came back. this season, 2,329 yards. Like I said, 15 touchdowns, 5 picks. He's good. He's good. Even during the 3-game losing streak, I went back and I was listening to Kyle Shanahan, and he said he never, never even came across his noggin that he would sit him down. And this is a quote from Shanahan on Brock Purdy. He lets it rip, and he's going to live with the consequences. See, I like that. That's an attack mode, and go ahead. Go for it. And if you're going to make the pick, then just don't do that again. But, you know, move on. And that's what that was a Shanahan quote. 17 starts. When Purdy starts 17 games, the 49ers are 13-4. He is second in the NFL in QB rating. He is first in yards per attempt. He is sixth in completion rate. He is fifth in touchdown passes, and he is third in touchdown to interception ratio. So if you're waiting for him to just fall out or fall by the wayside, it's not going to happen. And this is coming back after the UCL injury. Now, the 49ers, let's get into the 49ers a little bit more. You know, why, who are they? Are they the team that was on the 3-game losing streak? Or are they the team that started so good and now demolished Jacksonville last week? They picked up Chase Young. Oh, my God. Chase Young is a stud. What was his quote when he came? He's like, I'm in a winning locker room now. I can feel the difference compared to the Washington Commanders. He was asked about the 3-game losing streak. Chase Young, quote, I wasn't here for the losses, but I could tell you that everybody has that energy. You could just tell the love for the game in the locker room. Now, the 49ers, I was listening to and watching some of their interviews this week, and they were asked about, it's hard to, this trap game. The Buccaneers are below 500. You got these big games coming up. The 49ers were saying that they're not trying to look past the Buccaneers since they've got this big Seahawks game looming on Turkey night, Thanksgiving night. But they changed things, like going into last week after the bye, Wilkes down from the sidelines to the booth. They were able to get some rest with some of their starters, especially on defense. Last week, when I was looking at that game, boy, the 49ers pass rush was getting to Trevor Lawrence. The 49ers secondary, they're creating turnovers. The 49ers D up front, it's Young, it's Bosa, it's Hargrave. They're tied with 4 pressures. That trio combined for 4 sacks. Bosa had a forced fumble. The trio had 5 hurries, 5 defensive stops. That's the thing. This is one of these things where you can't just look at the stat sheet, because they're not there amongst the leaders with sacks, but they do get through. They do get pressure. And one more thing coming out of the bye. He moved one Lenore. He moved him inside. Ambry Thomas started outside. Ward at cornerback. Thomas graded out really good. He only allowed 2 catches for 14 yards. So, I mean, the 49ers DBs, that secondary, very, very good. Thomas also had the key strip sack. So close to getting into the end zone. Ward didn't allow many catches. He did have 2 penalties. Thomas also had a penalty. What was up about that? So they're not perfect, but they're damn good. That's the way I'm looking at it. Damn good. All right. So Baker Mayfield against the 49ers in his career. I'm one of these guys. What have you done for me lately? Like, what are you doing right now? So I don't put too much stock onto in the past with a player, because NFL seasons change so much. It really is, what are you doing? NFL, not for long, like right now. But Baker Mayfield is 0-2 against the 49ers. No touchdown passes, 3 interceptions against the 49ers. It was brought up to him this week, and he's like, not pretty. He didn't, you know, I probably didn't appreciate it, but hey. Mike Evans, what happened when you played San Francisco just last year? And it ruined Brady's return to the Bay Area. There was so much hype. I mean, San Francisco won that game 35-7. So it was a rout. Anyway, here's Mike Evans. Last year, what they were saying. Last year, we went to San Francisco. It wasn't pretty. So we're looking to avenge that and play some of our best ball because we're going to need it against a team like San Francisco. Purdy last year against the Buccaneer defense, he had 2 touchdown passes. He even rushed for a touchdown. It was his first NFL start. I remember how much he was saying he looked up to Brady. Nick Bosa has faced Baker Mayfield in college, that Ohio State-Oklahoma thing, and in 2019. But again, it's a new year. It's a new day. It's Sunday, you know, and Baker's in a totally different situation. 49ers, they're very good at Levi's Stadium. Now, they lost to the Bengals. The Bengals are a different team right now. Look what the Bengals right now are struggling. As Joe Namath would say, struggling. Struggling. He's got the hurt hand. Their quarterback. But however, so the 49ers at Levi's Stadium, they lost to the Bengals. That was last October 29th. They have won 11. They had won 11 in a row at Levi's Stadium prior. Shanahan was saying this week he wants to put Nick Bosa on a snap count since he now has, he's able to have Chase Young here. Last week they were bringing the pressure against Lawrence with Bosa, Hargrave, Chase Young, Armstead. Each has 37, I think they each had 37 snaps out of 57. So the deal is, I looked ahead. You never know about a weatherman. They got a great gig, don't they? They can predict and be wrong and still have gigs. It's looking like there's rain, you know, these last couple of days, but pregame, sunny, right at game time, 71 degrees, winds up to 15 miles an hour. Not predicted to have rain in the forecast for this game, so that's good. I don't like it, a sloppy game. Although maybe, you know, give me a nice field. Give me nice weather. Let me enjoy this game at it with a big storm, with a big brumosa and or two. And then depending on how the game is going, or three. All right, let me get you into some Rock Kickoff podcast, Bucks Kickoff podcast matchups. Buccaneers are coming into this bad boy relatively healthy. They've been very lucky. They haven't had any major you know, issues since the season has started. Seriously. I'm going to go, my first matchup that I'm looking at, the entire Buccaneers defense against Christian McCaffrey. Okay? Bowles said, here was what the Bowles said about Christian McCaffrey. They only, because the Bucs' success against McCaffrey when he was with Carolina. The Buccaneers, or Bowles said, they only had 2 or 3 stars there, meaning in Carolina. The 49ers have 5 or 6. They also move him around. They do a lot more with him. Shanahan is a hell of an offensive mind. And Christian McCaffrey is freaking good. The Buccaneers defense. How about this stat? Number 1 in the NFL in touchdowns allowed in the red zone. I have noticed that. Just, you know, without even looking it up. Once these opponents get in the red zone, the Buccaneer defense does a good job. Very, very good job. I didn't know they were that good. They're number 1 in the NFL. Here's another matchup that I'm looking forward to. Baker Mayfield against that San Francisco 49ers defense, and more specifically, the 49ers front. Now, the 49ers front has the 5th highest percentage in the NFL, with Bosa and Hargrave tied with 4.5 sacks, and then Young and Armstead and Javon Kinlaw. They are 5th best in the NFL in applying pressure. On 40% of their dropbacks, they are fifth lowest with blitz rate. So in other words, they're getting pressure without having to blitz. Their front is that good. They also rotate guys in with fresh legs. And remember, Chase Young had 5 sacks when he was with Washington before coming over in the trade. So that's going to be good. Baker Mayfield, when he is pressured, he's done a damn good job. Baker Mayfield is, do you know the Bucs and Baker Mayfield? They're number 4. They're tied for 4th in all of the NFL in fewest sacks given up. How about that? With this offensive line. Now, look, Tristan Wirfs is all world. Gedeky, who had been hurt, I watched him practicing both Thursday. He's fine. He's going to be fine. But Gedeky's done a nice job. The interior is not that good. Come on. Admit it. And it's because Mayfield is getting rid of it. What does Canales say? He told us again, 2.7 seconds. Get it rid of it fast as that. It's 1, 2, go. 1,001, 1,002, go. And Mayfield has done a damn good job with that. And also, he's strong. He is able to, like, elude, even if they might get a hand on his shoulder pad or something. He's got strong legs. He's tough. So I think Mayfield's done a really, really good job with that. Mayfield has only one pick on 129 plays when he is pressured. How about that stat? When he's been pressured, 129 plays, he's only thrown one pick. That is also pretty damn good. I know you Kyle Trask fans out there don't want to hear that. And I know you're waiting for Mayfield to have another clunker. But those stats don't lie, okay? Also, another matchup, Canales. Offensive coordinator Dave Canales. If Evans is covered, and you know he's going to be here, but he still can beat at times double, and sometimes they'll roll over and it will be triple coverage. Or if they're going to try to take away Godwin and Evans. Last week, Canales, I thought he did a good job going to Rashad White, Kate Otten. They had 4 touchdowns between those two. Trey Palmer had a couple of big plays. Right now, and I know Sage was asking the one question the entire Wednesday about that screen with Rashad White and using Rashad White more in the screenplay. It is devastating. It is devastating. It is good. He was good. But so Canales told us he's still learning. I know you don't want to hear that this deep in the season. I'm just telling you what they're saying and what I'm seeing. Another matchup, Jamel Dean on Brandon Ayuk. Now, look, I know Deebo Samuels gets a lot of the pub, rightfully so, and he's also damn healthy. But Brandon Ayuk is so damn fast. He is averaging 17.7 yards per catch. Now, McCollum and Dean did a good job with DeAndre Hopkins, D-Hop, last week. They shut his ass down. But Will Levis, Titans offense, and Hopkins is not Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, Purdy, McCaffrey, and Shanahan calling plays. Rashad White, oh my God, he was in such a good mood. And one of the Joes has a good point. I don't think there's ever a microphone that he doesn't love. He was in a great mood. They have a social media team with the Buccaneers. And one of the social media bosses has her phone, and she has this little tiny mic. It looks like a lavalier mic. And she goes around, and Rashad White was the player that was acting as an interviewer. And they were going around the locker room, and he was having a good time. He was all smiles. He said he's feeling good about being used more out of the backfield. He is their third. Let's face it. Evans, Godwin, White is your number three receiver. And there, here's a stat that I didn't realize. Do you know that Rashad White is second in the NFL, only behind McCaffrey, in receiving yards by a running back? Did you, all the NFL? Did you know that? That I didn't know. So obviously, Mayfield is loving Rashad White. All righty. Oh. I know there was, you know, and one of the Joes, Lee specifically, he is hysterical on beating that drum about Rashad White. And they used to have the watch, and it was getting near the NFL trade deadline. You've only got so many hours to go before getting another running back. Well, it came out that the Buccaneers did try to pick up Michael Carter, the running back from the Jets. They were letting him go. He was great as a rookie, but that was in 2021. So they did make a move, or try to make a move, but it didn't work out. So Rashad White is your guy. The question to Todd Bowles this week on the defense about man versus zone, because we went over to talk to Carlton Davis at his locker room, and he flat out told us, he's like, we're much better in man than we are in zone. Flat out. Bowles on Jamel Dean, Zion McCollum, Ken. Oh, that was it. I think I took this. I believe Joe Bucks fan had this. They found this. This might have been him on Buccaneers.com or whatever. But Jamel Dean and Zion McCollum can play man just as good as Carlton, you know. What's that say for Carlton? On shutting down the Titan wide receivers, including DeAndre Hopkins. Lavonte David, also found this on the great JoeBucksFan.com. Lavonte David was on the Jim Rome show, because I can't keep up with everything. And Lavonte said, quote, the 49ers are the most complete team we'll see all season. They got a couple of guys back in Trent Williams, Deebo Samuel. They are back to being a complete team. They really are. They really are. All right, what do we have? 42 minutes here. So just real quickly on last week, if you did not see, I'm sure you saw the Bucks-Titans game. If you didn't see the 49ers-Jaguars, or you just maybe you saw the clips, here's the thing. Everybody keeps bringing up that the 49ers, they snapped their three-game losing streak. Well, you know what? They stopped the Jaguars' five-game winning streak. Like I said, it Jaguars, Peterson, they're well coached. This isn't a crappy Jaguars team. And it was 34-3. Brock Purdy had three touchdown passes, okay, including a 66-yarder to George Kittle. God, Kittle's good. 296 through the air, a 148.9 QB rating. Sam Darnold even came in the fourth. They were up by so much. He's like, let me just get a couple of snaps here from Darnold. And then there was the first game that they also had Chase Young. So Deebo Samuel back after being out for three games. He had a 23-yard touchdown run. And really, games are won and lost. You would agree, right? Games are won and lost at the line of scrimmage. Offensive line, defensive line. Canales even said it this week. And it all starts up front. And the 49ers controlled the line of scrimmage. That's what scares me about this one. The 49ers defense, they sacked Trevor Lawrence five times, led by Nick Bosa. Chase Young had one sack. The 49ers rushed for 144 yards on the ground. Christian McCaffrey, 142 total yards. I know the headline was, his streak of 17 games with at least one touchdown ended. But he had 142 total yards. The 49ers, in three straight losses, had only scored 17 points each. But Shanahan, you know, they were up by a lot. He was very aware of the streak that McCaffrey had of the 17 games with a touchdown. And the other starters were out. He had pulled the starters, and he put McCaffrey back in there, and he gave him the ball. I think it was like he targeted him, either gave him the ball or targeted him as a receiver five plays in a row, even with the other starters out, trying to get him that record to keep on going. So last Sunday, the 49ers in that win, they hit the 30-point mark for the sixth time this season. Do you know that's number one in the NFL? That's how good this offense is. That's how they can score. Six times they put up 30 points this season. Real quickly on the Buccaneers, 20-6, Buccaneer win, all right? Baker Mayfield, 278, two touchdowns. The Titans have now lost 4 of 5. It's bad. And it snapped their four-game losing streak. They needed that one so bad. I think that's what Baker Mayfield is. About 300 yards, two touchdowns, no picks. If he gives you one, that's unusual. Mike Evans dropped that pass in the end zone. He said after the game that he was actually thinking, he knew he was going to be open. He knew Baker was going to get him the ball. He was that confident. He was overconfident. He was actually cocky. He was thinking about who he was going to give the touchdown to, what fan in the end zone. That was on his mind, and that's what happened. You can't get ahead of yourself. Even if you're prepared, you know this play is going to be open. Just don't let your mind go. The mind is something, isn't it? Like, and he was thinking, oh, he was looking, scouting, like, do I give it to a kid? Let me see, is there anybody a Bucks fan? You know, you can't do that. And that's what happened. That's what happened. He was wide open. Oh, here's what he said. Quote, I got cocky. I was thinking what fan I was going to give the ball to. He also had another dropped pass. And the Buccaneers, remember that? And then the Buccaneers had to settle for a field goal. But he redeemed himself. That's why he's so damn good. A 22-yard touchdown catch. He carried that cornerback, Fulton, into the end zone. And at that point, the Buccaneers were up 17-3. It was around mid-third. So they were pretty good. Mayfield screen pass to Rashad White, the one that Sage kept talking about, that screen pass to Rashad White, the 43-yard touchdown. Buccaneers defense sacked Will Levis 4 times, picked off Will Levis late 1 time. Buccaneers defense held the Titans rushing attack. That was really good, especially with Derrick Henry, 42 yards on 16 carries. The Titans offensive line is bad. They have been ravaged with injuries. Tristan Wirfs rolled his ankle in that game. He's totally fine. I saw him in the locker room both days. I saw him on the practice field, watched very intently, no limp, no nothing, freak of nature. I know he was on Pat McAfee's show. They loved him. That was great. Asking him if he would jump out of the pool again. Oh, and then the thing about Vita Vea being a ball carrier or on a jumbo package, because Vita's done it before, bringing him in as a running back, goal line. Or even Tristan Wirfs. You see how athletic he looked? He's like, nah. He did say it would be great to see Vita come on in. That would be unstoppable. They should try that. And Canales even said, oh, they've been practicing that. No, they have. You're going to see Vita if the situation is right. But Mayfield goes, he don't need to be running. He don't need to be running. Mayfield doesn't even have to think on his blind side, his left side, because Tristan Wirfs is there. All right, listen, I'm got to be honest, because that's how Joe Bucks fan is. Yes, Joe Bucks fan is not Homer. This isn't Joe Homer fan. Joe Kissass fan. This is Joe Telling the Truth fan. JoeBucksFan.com. I do not see the Buccaneers winning this game. I think that they'll maybe even get like a touchdown late because they're down by so much. I see this as a 49ers 31, Buccaneers 23. And that's even with a touchdown late. I hope I'm wrong. Listen, I'm there all week. It's not good in the building when they're on a losing streak. It's not fun. Nobody's happy. Nobody wants to talk to you. Nobody wants to see you. I'm going to be there, win or lose. I am a reporter and a podcaster for Joe Bucks fan, so I'm going to be there. I want them. I want it. I want it to be fun. I want to see them playing for the NFC South. I want to see a home wild card. I want to see a home, a playoff game. That's what Canales was saying. You know, we got to win the NFC South. We'll get a home playoff game, and then we'll go on the road to play one of these big teams this championship week. That's what Canales is calling this, a championship week. It's a Thanksgiving holiday. I am thankful to be with JoeBucksFan.com, biggest, baddest, badass website, information with a touch of humor. It's great. And I'll be back again next week for another edition of the Bucks Kickoff Podcast. Hey, Black Friday deals are rolling through right now at Bill Curry Ford. Great time. And also tell them Joe Bucks Fan sent you, Ira Kaufman sent you, ask for Sean Sullivan, and you'll have a great, 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 great holiday season with your new ride. All right, signing off. Until next week, let's enjoy again. The season is going by. Let's enjoy. Let's enjoy. Let's enjoy this game.